You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. OneOfUs.net and all of the shows on it are 100% subscriber supported. Please consider becoming a subscriber to OneOfUs.net. Keep the site and all of our great shows going and get some terrific bonus content as well.
And with an E. Now, this is like Liza with a Z, right? Very similar?
Kind of, but completely different.
Yeah, not the same thing. Is a,
yeah, it's totally a, same a, thing, except not really at all. Yeah, it's not even a little.
I feel like our audience is too young now to know what Liza with a Z even is.
Oh, are we at that stage now?
I don't know. I feel sad.
Wait a minute, it's 6 o'clock. I have to go to Luby's and then go to bed.
Oh, boy. But no, this is Anne with an E, and it's a adaptation of Anne of Green Gables. Now, this is the third season of this show, which I know I saw the trailer when this first started coming out, but I haven't really heard about it because I know it's probably a very targeted fan base. And of course, I feel like it's a bad trend lately where I'm like, yeah, I didn't watch this, but these people did. But
I am not so silently judging you from my couch. How dare you, sir? I'm gravely offended. Then again, I'm a big nerd, so I'm totally the audience for this show.
Yeah, and that was, it was probably part of my childhood. Actually, when I was really young, I made a book cover for Anne of Green Gables.
Oh, wow. Oh, okay, yeah. You have to include that in this.
Okay.
Like, that has to happen.
Well, yeah, so thankfully I found two people on the site who are huge fans. So over here we got Paloma from the His Dark Materials review.
Yep. Yeah, Decoding the Daemonverse is what it's, the blog's called, but yeah, I
Well, I was just saying for that one, but yes, oh, yeah. You also have your website.
Oh, yeah. I also did a blog called Decoding the Daemonverse as well, but yeah, I was on that as well, the review.
Indeed. And then over here we got Jennifer, Mayhem's Muse.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, yeah.
Hype man in the corner.
Oh, boy. Well, why don't you give us a little bit more hype here? What is the situation here for Anna with the Knee? And fair warning for people. The first two seasons, anything that happened there is fair game to talk about in this. So.
Yeah, you're past the point of no return on spoilers, so sorry, not sorry about it. Yeah. So this series is based on a book series, a very beloved book series from the early 1900s by Ellen Montgomery, about a young orphan in Canada and her trials and tribulations of being adopted into a Canadian farm family, being introduced to all of the people in this small community and trying to stay bright and shiny in a world that is full of hardship and turmoil for somebody who is very passionate and bright and bubbly and completely and totally run away with her imagination at all points in time. She's one of the most headstrong, whimsical, and charming characters I've ever written in any book. She's absolutely a wonderful character. And this this series is the third series in a row of this story of her life. She, at this point, has been at the farm with her adoptive family, the Cuthberts, for about 3 years. She's been enrolled in the local school and is a part of that community and has made, as she calls it, bosom friends with a young girl named Diana who comes from a very wealthy family whose family is not always approving of their friendship because they have very lofty goals for her and her development as a child. And in this series, they've gotten a new teacher who is very progressive. She's a female teacher who's single and wears pants and does creative inventions and encourages her students to speak up and have a mind. And it's just this beautiful story of how to take the tradition of what is established and how to move forward and create your own traditions and push the boundaries that need to be pushed and encourage people to let kids have voices and learn things that are outside of the box and challenge their normal home lives and roles. And it's just this beautiful series that covers a whole bunch of issues about how to come into your own, how to provide balanced home lives, and, you know, how to tell people when you think that they shouldn't be sexist or ageist or racist. Yeah. And it covers so many different topics that it's just this great setting for making you think about what you have in your life and how to test the boundaries. It's so good.
Yeah, I it's really amazing. Especially this season. I think they dealt with a lot of issues this season. That was really amazing.
Nice. Yeah.
It's interesting that they've done that in this show because they've taken the original subject material and kept very true to the heart of it while bringing in issues that are very prevalent in our modern day setting and finding a way to draw attention to those in this historical setting as well, which is very unique for a show to do well.
Yeah, and I think it's a show that, you know, children can watch. I think it does a really great job of dealing with some really serious issues, but not making it too, you know, too crazy or too something that, you know, children can watch or handle.
Or beating you over the head with it.
Exactly.
Subtle, yeah. Oh, I see what you're doing there.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, well, and the reason why I think it's not being over the head is because it's got this really great woman behind it, Moira Wally Beckett, who...
Yes.
This seems to be her passion project in this case, because previously she worked on Breaking Bad as a longtime writer for the show.
Really? Wow.
She won an Emmy for Ozymandias, one of the best episodes of the whole series. So, but then she also did that series Flesh and Bone on Stars, and then this has been her big one that she's been promoting a bunch. And, yeah, sounds like, you know, she's really got a good grip on what makes the story work. I mean, would you say that's a pretty faithful adaptation of the book series itself?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think it is a really good adaptation, and I think it kind of deals with in a kind of in a way modernizes, but yeah, I think it does. It's a really good adaptation of the original text.
Yeah, I can't think of a single moment where they made a creative choice that differs from the subject material that didn't feel right for the way it would have been written if it were modern.
Yeah,
just such a really great adaptation, which is rare these days.
No, yeah,
yeah, pretty hard to find. But I mean, I'm pretty sure that I know that you two are huge fans and you probably love a lot of this. I mean, what do you think really makes this season work outside of all the themes that you just said? Like, anything about the acting or the production work and that kind of stuff as well?
It's an art film, basically. It's this love letter to the pastoral scene and this love of the country life and the people and the characters. It's such a character-driven show. Every single character is given the opportunity to grow and change on the screen. They're given these huge speeches and character-driven moments. It's such a great show. It's not too fast-paced. It really settles on the topics, and it does so in such a loving way. Like, the film itself, having no knowledge of what it's about or where it comes from, is just beautiful to watch. The music is gorgeous. The cinematography is stunning. There are so many beautiful pastoral scenes. It's just such a gorgeous show just to watch.
Yeah.
With tissues. Many tissues.
Yeah, a lot of crying. Like, yeah, a lot of very emotional scenes. Yeah, I think the young people, I mean, of course they're not children. They're like, I think, probably 18 years old. But they're amazing actors. And I also think that it's really about, this season especially, is really about growing up and becoming an adult and maturing. Mm-hmm. And I think it was
really
beautiful.
They're hitting that next stage.
Yeah, I think it's a really beautiful testament of showing Anne's change. Like, she's still the heart, the same girl we met, you know, 3 years ago. But at the same time, she's really dealing with she's dealing with more real issues and really bringing attention to things. And her work in the newspaper, I think, was really amazing.
And she becomes a lot more self-aware. In the first few seasons, she's very headstrong and she's just head deep in her emotions and her imagination, and she lets that carry her. But in the third season, she's much more introspective. She's aware of her flight of fancy and her tendency to go off on a tangent. And she's trying to rein that in and trying to figure out where she wants to go with the rest of her life and how that fits in with her community. And also thinking back towards where she came from, her original family, and how that should shape her life. And it's just such a beautiful journey to see her go through.
Yeah.
It's just beautiful.
Yeah, and I think with the Culbert, I think she's kind of feeling very kind of secure in that relationship. And while there are some issues in that relationship this season, I think it kind of allows her to want to find out where she comes from and who she is. So I think that really helps secure her.
And then there's still beautiful moments of her just taking initiative and it going hilariously wrong. Yes. There's an episode with a county fair, and she has a baking incident. And it's one of those moments that you see coming a mile away and you're like, yeah, that's so Anne. And it's what makes the character so charming to me personally. I'm one of those people that I can be in a gown with an 18-foot-long train on a runway and model and be perfectly graceful, but then barefoot in my own kitchen, I will run into a wall and, you know, like, stub my toe on the stairs. And Anne is such a character like that. She has these huge moments of grace and aplomb, and then will just stumble all over herself in the kitchen for no reason. Yeah. And it's just such a charming and a homey thing to know that she's not a perfect character. She's so much like me because I have that tendency.
No, yeah, and she comes from a really great place, but she also is way ahead of her time. So she always comes against a lot of kind of conflict and knows a lot of, you know, aggression from some people because she really kind of sees people for who they are and sees everybody as equal. And there's a really great storyline with I want to be careful not to say too much, but with the indigenous culture near their town, which we actually haven't seen before until this season, and her kind of seeing them as, you know, these real people, this really amazing culture that she wants to learn about and explore, but everybody else is so scared, is so afraid of them, and wants to change them, wants to, you know, kind of like, you know, quote unquote, fix them and make them more westernized. And this season explores the really horrible, you know, thing about, you know, what happened in Canada, where they kind of started imprisoning or taking away Indigenous children and trying to teach them, forcing them to only speak English and forcing them to live away from home and practice Christianity and kind of really physically abusing them and sometimes even sexually abusing them. And it kind of covered this in a really amazing way.
There's a really dark point in history, and this show does a really great way of forging relationships between those characters, making you care for them, and then making you understand what happened in the history.
Yeah.
It's actually interesting. I didn't think of it until just now, but this show paints a very easy parallel to a show that I grew up loving, which is Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman. Oh. And it's almost identical in the style of the storytelling and in the style of the characters. A strong female character who's very progressive comes into this town, is learning about the town, and simultaneously challenging that town to become better, more broad-minded, more open, and more caring about themselves, the community, education in general, women's rights, and Indigenous rights.
Yeah.
I mean, there are some very powerful episodes of Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman that discuss the rights of the Cherokee, and it's just, or not the Cherokee, the Cheyenne. But it's the same parallel, and it's a very similar time period where women are trying to find themselves and trying to have strong jobs. And it's just this beautiful parallel of these two characters in different stages of their lives and how they challenge their communities to grow.
Wow, I have to say, I've never watched Dr. Quinn, the Medicine Woman. You make me want to watch it.
Yeah, if you like this type of character and this type of storytelling, then you should absolutely go watch Dr. Quinn. And it's on Amazon Prime, like 19,000 seasons.
Wow.
It's an amazing show.
Yeah. Now, it's interesting, too, that it sounds like you guys have a lot of high praise. And I'm kind of surprised because the reception for the last season, and it seems to be this season, has not been entirely positive from certain critics. I mean, could you think of anything for why people might not like enjoy these last few seasons? Or
I've seen lots of feedback about the last half of the third season being rushed, in the plotline specifically between two of the main characters being drawn together. And again, I don't want to say too much about who or why, but
sure.
There are definitely a lot of consensus in the community that it felt rushed. And people were wondering, well, did they know that that there might not be a fourth season when they were making this? Because the last half of the third season feels very rushed and towards, all right, well, we're wrapping it up, so let's wrap all this up real quick. But interestingly enough, none of the staff of the movie, or at least none of the actors, knew that there was a potential for not a fourth season until after, it was the day after the final episode of the third season was released on the local television.
Really?
That they got the announcement that there wouldn't be a fourth season.
I have to say, I actually kind of liked the ending of this season. I mean, I won't say too much about it, but I thought it was a really beautiful ending and really kind of wrapped it up in a really beautiful way. I didn't feel rushed about it. I didn't feel I was rushed or anything like that. But that's just my opinion.
And I thought that, and I went back, and it's been several years since I've reread the book series.
Yeah.
But I went back and reread the timeline on it, and the elements of this series happened just about when they happened in the books. I think it was about the fourth book when those characters really came together, the way that they did in the show. But they skipped over so many things, like little things in the books that filled those pages and delayed it longer. They focused on different elements of her childhood earlier on before they moved into, all right, now she's growing up and going away to school. So yeah. I feel like they did a really great job of fitting everything in. The only storyline that I wasn't satisfied with how they left it was the Indigenous storyline. They got you there, and then they just kind of stopped showing that whole storyline. They just don't go anywhere with it.
Yeah.
And there's no reactions from the main characters. There's no resolution there. It's a, well, this bad thing's going to happen. What's going to happen? And then nothing. And the last, I think, episode or two are about some completely other storylines.
That's a good
point.
So
that was a letdown for me.
That is a really good point. Yeah, I mean, I won't say too much, but yeah, it is kind of confusing, especially with Anne's reaction to everything that was happening and her feelings after it had happened. Again, I won't say too much.
She has such strong reactions to characters, and she does in this storyline too, and then there's just nothing.
Yeah, I agree. No,
very un-Anne-like.
I hadn't thought about that, but you're right. Now that is really disappointing. and doesn't really make a lot of sense within the story logic.
It just, to me, it just doesn't make any sense for them to not have a fourth season. It's just you've stopped in the middle of a thing, and it needs a lot of resolution for how strong the character was pushed along.
Was there not enough of an audience to have a fourth season?
So the deal going on with that right now, which is still apparently murky in the works, there was a deal between Netflix and the CBC, the Canadian Broadcasting Channel, to collaborate on this project and bring it to Netflix. And the agreement between CBC and Netflix has ceased. I believe the word on the street is that the CBC didn't feel like they were getting the better end of the deal on those projects. So they have ended their agreement with Netflix, none of their projects are going to keep going.
That's very disappointing, actually.
It's very disappointing, but if you have any interest in this project and you want to see it through and help to push that initiative along, you can look up online. There are several different mediums for applying directly to Netflix to have another season of the show go through. There's a direct way that you can suggest more shows to Netflix. And there's also a trending Twitter hashtag of Save Anne with an E, that there's like 250 or so posts an hour being posted under that hashtag right now.
Wow.
In an attempt to get it through to a fourth season. So if you love it and you want to see more of it, do tweet out that hashtag. There is a Twitter page for Anne with an E. There's Twitter for Netflix. There's Twitter for the CBC. So if you want more of it, go tell them to get it together.
I've heard some kind of sketchy stuff about Netflix here and there. Like, even one of my friends is a composer, and what I've heard about how they treat below the line people for like artists and that kind of stuff, it doesn't exactly paint the best light depending on the type of person you are in the industry, you know.
Yeah
So I'm kind of not surprised to hear what you're saying for that.
I'm not at all, and it makes me sad because companies like the CBC are doing such great work. Like, this is such a unique show in a time where a lot of shows are very action-based, plot but no storyline. And this is a show that appeals to people of all ages. It doesn't matter if you have knowledge of the subject material or not, if you read the books or didn't. It's such a wholesome show that has lessons that are going to endure 100 years from now.
Yeah.
So we desperately need more shows like this in this time period.
Especially for girls, especially for young girls and young women. It's a really kind of empowering story and kind of shows, and even though there is, romance in it, it's really about her journey as growing up and learning about herself and maturing and kind of feeling more, secure and kind of making friends. So it's a really amazing story for young women, especially at a time when it still is not, totally equal.
And this book, the book that it's based on, or the series it's based on, is up there with books like Little Women and Sense and Sensibility, in that coming of age, growing, challenging your situation kind of book. And it's just such a beautiful read and such a gorgeous show to watch. It's definitely one of the best film projects I've seen in quite some time.
Yeah, no, I've heard a lot of people, like, even the people who criticize the seasons, love the way it looks, like, the visual style of it all. And it's, despite the negative reviews the second season got, the first two seasons have won quite a few awards for itself, especially at the Canadian Screen Awards, where it took Best Drama Series 2 years in a row.
Yeah,
so. That's
beautiful. I'm so glad to hear that.
And I think the actress, too, won two awards for her acting, who played Anne. I'm forgetting her name, but I think she won two.
Oh, it's Amy Beth McNulty.
Yes,
She's Irish. A perfect Anne. I mean, of all the adaptations that I've seen of Anne of Green Gables, this is by far the most, to me, accurate. Like, the moment I saw her on screen as Anne, I was like, oh god, yes, you are Anne. You are Anne. Thank you and good night.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, and you're not kidding. I just looked up her photo. I'm like, yeah, she looks pretty much like how I've pictured the character.
And her energy is amazing as well. Her energy is amazing.
She looks like her, speaks like her. She is Anne in every way I've ever seen. And it's just, I get goosebumps watching it. Like, there's not a single episode of this show that I'm not crying my eyes out.
Not even exaggerating.
No, that's great to hear.
And I love the Carthards, too, who play her parents, or her foster parents.
Oh,
I guess,
and her
godparents. They're amazing.
They did so good. And the actor who plays Gilbert Blythe is phenomenal. And Diana is mad. They just knocked the casting department on this show. You guys should win some awards because you did good. You did real good.
Nice. Now, it shows that they really care about the project they're doing. I mean, I know even if some critics may disagree or not, it seems like the fan base really responds well to the show that they're doing. Because Yeah, and then also I noticed that two of the big actors in here, I think is the one you might have mentioned. I don't know the story, but R.H. Thompson and Geraldine James, who won the supporting actor prizes at the Canadian Festival kind of stuff. It's the person who plays Matthew Cuthbert, and I think
Marilla.
Marilla. Who's the sister? Well, they're together. Those are brother parents. Sister.
Yeah. Apparently, people really love them. Like, are they still good this season as well?
Oh yeah.
Yes. Oh yeah. They're very. Anne's family unit is a very central core of this entire show. Their development as a family unit, they're learning to grow with her and trust her to forge her own path in a way that challenges their sensibilities and encourages them to grow. She brings new life into a household that had been very standard and rote for a very long time. She makes these characters come alive in a way that they hadn't had their whole lives.
Yeah.
And it's just so beautiful.
And I think Marilla really, I think Marilla really grew this season a lot.
Yes.
Even more. Because, I mean, Matthew had grown, but she really grew a lot more than, you know, she had done the last two seasons.
Yep. There are some growing pains and tensions between Anne and Marilla that really pay off in the end. And, oh man, just such a great story.
No, that's great to hear. I mean, so just winding down, are there any other last points before I go into final ratings?
Give us more of this show or riot. That's my final point.
I will definitely be doing the Twitter campaign. I didn't know about it, because I haven't really looked at that part of it. But I definitely really love the series. I would say definitely everybody should, you know, check it out and watch it, because the more views we get, the better it is, really.
So the hashtags are Save Anne with an E and Anne with an E. And the actual Twitter page is @AnneTheSeries. And then you can also look up CBC, the Canadian Broadcasting Channel. Those are all on Twitter.
Awesome possum. Well then, who would like to go ahead in their final rating first?
Go for it, Paloma.
Okay, well, I would give this a, let's see. Let me see how I'm going to do this. I'm going to give it a 8.5 out of 10, Dana and Anne's, you know, swearing their kind of love to one another.
Oh, I will never have another bosom friend than you.
Yes.
Aww.
So good. With the lockets.
Yeah.
Okay, so excellent cinematography, amazing music. The soundtrack and score for this are just auditorily stunning for me. And the character acting is just on par. I could not speak higher praises to the way that this show was filmed and how lovingly the subject material was handled. This is one of the most enjoyable shows I have ever watched. I will watch it a million times. If I have kids, they will watch it with me. It will be wonderful. I'm going to give it a 9.87 spinning in circles with my hair down in front of a bonfire to celebrate graduating from high schools.
Yes, that was a sweet scene. That was very sweet.
I don't know how else to end this other than that's cool.
Go watch it immediately and have many tissues.